Welcome down to my 9-foot homemade oak bar. Pour yourself a cold one. You are listening to Bucks in the Basement. My name's Chris, and Craig here is the biggest Pirates fan you'll ever meet. Let's talk Pirates baseball now. Welcome to Bucks in the Basement.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then the next day.
Talk about this week, because like most of Major League Baseball gets to talk about like their playoff hunt or what they're gonna do in the playoffs, because 16 teams are in the playoffs and that's not happening with the Pirates. So what is there to talk about this week, Craig Toth? Are you an angry Pirates fan? Are you a Pirates fan that looks at this and says it's gonna be a process, I'm not gonna get myself upset? Are you a sad Pirates fan? Are you disinterested with baseball Pirates fan? Don't wake me until the winter meetings. Like, what kind of Pirates fan are you?
Well, right now, Chris, I was thinking about this before the show, and I was thinking about that there's like three different camps of Pirates fans right now. They're the ones that are
the right ones, the wrong ones, and the crazy ones.
it could be into those different types of camps, but the first group is the ones that I think are actually kind of happy that they're losing, because they think that Kumar Rocker is going to save our team. And tanking for Kumar is like the greatest thing that's ever happened to them, even though 99% of them did not know who Kumar Rocker was.
I don't know who Kumar Rocker is, but right now I'm picturing Kumar from Harold and Kumar. Kumar Rocker is holding himself a Crave case of Whitey C's, and he is the greatest shortstop slash pitcher in the history of baseball. Who is he? Tell me about him.
He's a stud from Vanderbilt.
What does he do?
He's a pitcher. He's a beast of a pitcher. He helped them win the College World Series a couple years ago. So, I mean, like, the dude is
Tank
like
for
a
Kumar.
Stud. Yes. So, you know what? Tank for Kumar, crash for Kumar. What in the can for Kumar, I think I used at times. I don't know.
Crash for Kumar. That's pretty crash, awesome. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So there's that. There's that group. And they're also happy that, you know, Ke'Bryan Hayes is up, and just to let you know, Ke'Bryan Hayes just hit his second homer, a 2-run homer to put the Pirates up.
That's not crasher for Kumar there, Ke'Bryan.
Yeah, get on board. Get on board. So there's the people that are saying, you know, crash for Kumar. There's the spend nutting, win nutting. It doesn't even matter what happens. We're going to lose.
Right.
And no matter what, just because, and it's never going to build a winning team. They're not even going to pay. These people are saying they're not even going to pay Kumar if we draft him first, because, you know, the Pirates have always done that, where they just draft people and don't pay them.
Now they slot these guys.
I know.
So different now. This isn't how drafts were run 20 years ago. People need to start learning a little bit more about how this works. It's crazy to me that people think that's how this works. Like, there's a certain amount of slot. They're only allowed to pay a certain amount of money. They can go a little bit over slot. There's certain rules. But trust me, that's crazy to me that people think they're going to have a first-round pick and they're not going to pay the guy.
No, and the other part of that is, even when the Pirates, when they didn't have that, where you could pay over slot and stuff, the Pirates got in trouble because they were actually paying too much money to try to get players to come in when they were doing their last rebuild.
Now, here's the thing. You could tank for anybody you want to. You can. You could tank for anybody you want to, and maybe this guy's going to be good. But let's go through the names of first-round overall picks for the team that had the worst record in baseball. The Pirates currently are the worst record in baseball, so they would have the number one overall pick today.
Yeah,
so
we win.
They can do this. All right? This is a complete possibility. 2000, Adrian Gonzalez of the Florida Marlins. You take a guy like that, right?
You'd be
like,
yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
Put him on my team. 2001, Joe Mauer was a first-round pick. Yeah, I take him. 2002, Brian Bullington. Guess what team drafted him?
The Pirates. Previous regimes, many regimes ago.
Does that make you sick to your stomach, okay? I'm just doing from the 2000s on, okay? 2003, Delmon Young. Now look, he wasn't a superstar, but he was a Major League Baseball player. Not a complete miss, but it wasn't what you wanted. 2004, Matt Bush by the San Diego Padres. Not a very good pick. Justin Upton goes in 05. Luke Hovechar, Kansas City Royals, man, thought that guy was going to be great. He never really was. 07 was David Price. That was a nice pick. Tim Beckham, 2008 with the Rays. Never really panned out to what he wanted to be. No. Now you get a string of them. People went crazy for the next 4 years. Every first-round pick became a superstar. The Nationals in 09 take Steven Strasburg. And the Nationals in 10 take Bryce Harper. I never remember that they had back-to-back number one overall picks until that moment.
Oh, yeah, dude. Oh, yeah.
Then the Pirates actually hit in 2011 with Gerrit Cole, number one overall pick. By the way, he'll be in the playoffs pitching for the Yankees, not the Pirates. That's a shame.
I'm cheering for the Orioles to catch back up to them.
2012, Carlos Correa goes to the Astros. Likely he was a good pickup, but also the idea they started figuring out how to use garbage cans and wires underneath their shirts allegedly probably contributed. Because you look at the batting averages of some of those guys, they are not the same this year. All right, now we get into some rough ones. 13, Mark Appel, Houston Astros. That did not work out. Brady Aiken gets drafted by the Astros. Dansby Swanson by the Diamondbacks. He's actually starting. He's showing up in the majors. He could be something. 2016, Mickey Moniak. Where the hell did he go? Remember, man? He was like, he was going to be a stud. He was going to be a stud. 2017, the Twins took Royce Lewis. He has stalled. I will tell you this. He has stalled in the minor leagues. That's why I traded him to Craig. I dealt Royce Lewis and two other players to get Luis Robert in the offseason in our fantasy baseball league. Craig took the bait, and now he's his problem. Casey Mize, drafted in 18. He's a stud. He's up this year, and he's an absolute freaking stud pitcher. That's amazing. And last year was Adley Rutschman. 19 was Adley Rutschman, and then Spencer Torkelson was this year. So the Pirates have had twice in this millennium, twice in this century, a first-round pick. They did very, very good with Gerrit Cole. They did very, very, very poorly with Brian Bullington. Do you think that Ben Charrington can make the right pick? That his regime, if they get the first pick, will get the right guy?
I think they're going to, no matter what, I mean, it's between Kumar Rocker right now and Al Leiter's son. I think his name's John Leiter. Actually, I know his name's John Leiter. I don't know why I said I think his name is. I think that either one of those will be a good pick. It's all going to be up to, I mean, here's the thing is I still say the draft is just such a crapshoot. What if Kumar Rocker like blows out his elbow? I hate to like, I'm not trying to be like, you know,
I don't like pitching prospects. Yeah. I like player prospects. You want to know what I want? And I don't know if there's a guy out there because you know more about the minors than I do.
Yeah.
If I'm a team and I'm trying to develop, you know what I grab the most of? I find as many shortstops with high athletic ceilings that have several tools on the offensive side that I can go and get. Because if they don't make it out as a shortstop, they're a center fielder. They're a second baseman. They're a third baseman. You should be collecting them constantly because the shortstop's the best player on your team. The shortstop's the best player on your team when you're 10 years old. The shortstop's the best player on your team when you're 16 years old. The shortstop's the best player on your team when you're 20 years old. That's the most athletic guy on your team. Now, later in the majors, they may pick a guy that's spectacular at defense. He's not a great offensive player. But that's because a couple of the other shortstops in the system were not as good defensively, but they ended up being the center fielder or the third baseman or the right fielder. Major League Baseball is littered with guys that started off as shortstops in the draft and became something else. Heck, the Chicago Cubs made their run that got them all the way to the 2016 World Series a few years back with nothing but shortstops. Everybody was a shortstop they drafted. Baez, Elmora, they already had Castro at the time. They went, I mean, you could go down the list of players that they had on the team. I think Ian Happ. Ian Happ was originally listed as a shortstop, not J.A. Happ. He's an old white pitcher from Ottawa, Illinois. Ian Happ, okay? I mean, like, all these guys were shortstops in the draft because they had all this talent and this ability. That's what I load my team up on, unless you have a can't-miss catching prospect that can hit because they're so hard to find, like Adley Rutschman last year, or you get a Casey Mize. But you better be sure he's Casey Mize. The Tigers did a good job on that. The Pirates did a good job on Gerrit Cole. But Major League Baseball is littered with first or second overall or third overall pitching prospects that were supposed to be great, that blew out their arms, that were overused when they were younger. Mark Pryor comes to mind. Remember, he was right after Joe Mauer in that draft. He was number two. He was going to be a stud. He was done so quickly. He's like the youngest pitching coach in baseball right now. Remember that when you're thinking draft.
Yeah, and the other part of this is that if you look at it, Chris, I mean, even in like the first draft that under, you know, Ben Cherington, he went out and got Gonzalez, a shortstop that maybe isn't as athletic but could possibly move over to second, but you never know. And then in trading Starling Marte, goes out and gets Leovo Preguero, another athletic shortstop. So here's, when we were talking about camps, the third camp is the camp I'm in, which is if you are going to be this bad, you know what, you might as well be absolutely terrible. And if you get the first overall pick, that's great. But you actually also have to hope that players that you are looking to move also perform well. So it's like a balance. So right now, I Josh Bell is on an 8-game hitting streak at this point. Colin Moran has 8 home runs and is leading the team. You would have never thought I would be saying that. I don't even know after however many games that I'd be saying that Colin Moran, if it wasn't after the first game, is leading the team. You have to, my idea is you have to look for these guys to perform so that you can also trade them for players, because it's not like that if you get, say, even Kumar Rocker or John Leiter hit, is that going to be enough to bring your team to fruition? And everybody will say, well, you know what? We also have Quinn Priester, Tanaj Thomas, and they'll start listing off all these people. But like we've talked about before, Chris, the number of prospects that are in your top 100, your top 30, that actually hit, you have to have so many arms. So it's like, even if you get, you know, we said before, Ke'Bryan Hayes, he's hitting well. Is he going to do it on his own? No. If you get Kumar Rocker, is he going to do it on his own? Look up and down the lineup right now. We've done this in our past shows, and look at the batting averages. Look at all this kind of other stuff. You could have an absolute stud on there. Look at the Angels. My dear God, they have possibly the best player of our generation or of this generation, and they can't even make the playoffs. And they're still trying to build around him, and they can't. So there's ways to put these teams together, and tanking, you know what, whatever.
I have no problem with tanking. This is the way the system was set up, and until they come up with a better system, why not? If you know you're losing, lose. Get the best pick you possibly can. Be in control of your own destiny, because I'm not really interested in the idea of coming in like third, the last, when you could be last and have that number one overall pick. You want it. You want to be able to go out there and say, it's our pick. We own it. If you miss on it, you're going to have to be able to sit there and say, yeah, we missed on it. But that one player doesn't change your team. There's an awful lot of scouting that has to happen later on. Look, the Pirates in the top 100 prospects on MLB Pipeline, and I always use theirs because I'm going to tell you something right now. They are relentless in terms of knocking guys off of the list. Like, you really have to earn your way onto that list when they do it. The Pirates have 3 guys. 3. That is very small compared to other teams. They have 3 guys in the top 64, and then they have nothing else. Teams that have made runs lately where they brought up a bunch of prospects, look at the Padres. The Padres at one point, I think it was like 2 years ago, had 14 guys in the top 100s. That's how you build a team. You need to rebuild your minor league system. You need to get some true prospects. You need to get some blue chippers. That starts with the first overall pick. I'm in that group. I want the first overall pick. Start tanking. I don't care if it's Kumar or Harold. Start tanking.
And the funny thing is I said I know his name's John Leiter, and I'm like, his name's Jack Leiter.
Of course it is.
Which could be short for Jack. Of course it is, because that's just what I do.
Bucks in the Basement is part of the Broadcast Basement On Demand Radio Network, which now welcomes the brand new Cinemental Podcast. Bunch of friends sitting around talking about a different film each and every week, and they get some great guests, the actors, the filmmakers. It's awesome. Delve into the world of entertainment news and talk movies with the Cinemental Podcast, now part of the Broadcast Basement On Demand Radio Network. Get it now on Apple Podcasts or anywhere podcasts can be found. and at broadcastbasement.com. Let me ask you a question. I already know the answer. Most Pirates fans know the answer, but I'm just saying this to set up my point that I'm going to make. In the 2020 draft, this year when they got together and they had a draft, who made the picks?
Ben Cherington.
Okay. Who made the picks for the last 5 to 10 years? Who's the guy who made the majority of picks? If you're looking at a prospect in the system, who went out and got all the other picks?
Neil Huntington.
I just want Pirates fans to put that into perspective. So if I look at the MLB pipeline, top 30 for the Pittsburgh Pirates, and I see who they have as the top 30 players, everybody on this list, except for those that were drafted this year, were drafted by the last regime. You have to be impressed that the number one prospect in the Pirates system is considered to be Nick Gonzalez, who was drafted by this regime. In fact, 4 out of the top 17, I believe it is. Let me see here. 4 out of the top 17 players are from this year's draft. Now, that shows the flimsiness of the minor league system that the Pirates had, but it also shows a positive that when outside people looking in look at these prospects, there were good quality prospects picked up, not just in the first round, but for several rounds moving in. Pirates number 1, number 8, I want to make sure I get it right. They're number 13 and their number 17 overall prospects in their system were drafted in the first 3 rounds of the 2020 draft. Now, most other teams went out in the 2020 draft and drafted somebody, and that guy didn't even end up in their top 10. Or if the first guy in the first round ended up in their top 10, they were lucky if the second guy in the second round even ended up in their top 30. There are a lot of guys don't even make the top 30 that were brand new draft picks on other teams because that's how deep their minor league system is. It shows you how thin the Pirates are, but it also shows that some quality was actually gone out and acquired during that draft. This is the beginning of a new regime. You have to give it time. By the way, the highest ranked prospect, the only reason you don't have 2 in the top 100 across Major League Baseball and you have 3 is, again, because of Nick Gonzalez and that selection in the first round this year.
Yeah, and I was going to say, the other part is that number 5 and number 7, Leiva Pergara and Brendan Malone, he brought it in on a trade.
I completely missed that point, but think about this now. So out of the top 17 guys you have in your prospect system, the general manager that hasn't been in there for a year and has only had 1 draft, 5 of those 17 are his guys, and 3 of the top 7, including the number 1 prospect, considered by the national, those that scouted nationally, not people inside of Pittsburgh, not like some home fan or anything like that. We're talking about outside looking in objectively. 3 of the top 7 prospects in your system, including your number 1 prospect, were acquired since Cherington came in, and he hasn't even finished a full year sitting in the seat. That should give you some pause, that should give you some hope, and that should also illustrate to you what a mess everything was up until he got brought in.
Yeah, Chris, I mean, that's...
And he may be the worst general manager ever, okay? Please don't anybody tell me, oh, you're a Cherington lover. You're swinging from Cherington. You're like, you're the greatest Cherington. I don't know if he's good or bad. I just know he's better than the last guy. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, if he could do that in that just little amount of time here. And like I said, the other part of this is that, I mean, if you have the first pick of the draft, and then you always have, because, you know, we always have that compensatory round, you have another pick in the first round, and then you also get the first guy of the second round and the first guy of the third round. So you have, like, the top picks of those. So you have to put faith in him that he's going to make the right choices. And like we said before, we'll be sitting here, you know, hopefully, God willing, you know, on the air still and doing this show. And we'll be sitting here like 6-7 years down the road. And at that point in time, we'll have a pretty good idea of what, you know, what type of general manager Ben Cherington is, if he's still here. I mean, who knows? But at least at this point in time, you have to look at that. And Chris, that's a good thing to point out, that all these guys are coming in and it's just like they're skipping over guys that have been in your system for years.
He came in to take over a team that Hayes and O'Neill Cruz, Cabrian Hayes and O'Neill Cruz were the only 2 guys in the top 100 list.
And he went out and got a guy better than both of them in the draft, according to
Mitch Keller was.
He never felt like he was still a prospect to me. Did he feel like he was still a prospect to you?
No, he didn't.
I mean, technically he was, but was he really a prospect at that point?
No.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, but we could split hairs on it, but I mean, like, look, but after Gonzalez, Hayes, and Cruz, look what he did right behind them. Those guys that are going to be the next guys to break into that top 100 list. Like you said, Malone and Pagero. Okay, Carmen, what the heck his
Majinski.
Name is that I can't. Yeah, I can't pronounce that.
Doesn't
Good
look,
luck.
Doesn't look like Majinski, but I guess that's Majinski.
Yeah, Carmen Ski. He's Slavic. I know what part of the world he's from. Okay, I can't pronounce his name. I just wasn't born in a family like that. We're a bunch of Italians. We don't have names that are spelled like that. I can't pronounce that. Can't pronounce that.
Well, my last name's Toth. I can pronounce it. My God, come on.
No, I can't do it. There's an L there. It's an M and an L. How do you do ML? Mladzinski? Is that it? Mladzinski?
It's Majinski.
Where's the J, Majinski?
That's what it
There's
is.
There's no J in there.
That's what it is, man. I'm telling you.
Oh, man. You know what? Hopefully somebody changes his name. Remember when Giancarlo Stanton was just Mike Stanton?
Oh, yeah.
And then he became Giancarlo?
Yeah.
Somebody needs to change Majinski into something else. Because like, I don't know how to say that. Now I'm saying it because you said it to me.
You are Carmen Smith. Oh, and by the way, the Pirates just, I don't even know what happened, but I just looked out at my phone and it blinked up and they're down 6-4 now. So good for
good,
them.
Good. We record on Monday nights and it comes out on Tuesdays in case you're confused. But yeah. Before we get to the end of this, I'm kind of curious, buddy. I kind of want to ask you. Give me your predictions here. I've been trying to figure this out. In the National League, the Dodgers are likely the one seed. And then going from top to bottom, at least as we entered play before we started recording tonight. Dodgers, Braves, Cubs, Padres, Marlins, Cardinals, Phillies, Giants. Who do you think are the two teams that are most likely, just in case the Dodgers somehow fall out of it? Let's just say the Dodgers are probably the champions on the National League side. But if it isn't the Dodgers, who do you think it could be?
Right now, I would probably. The crazy part is I'm going to take the Phillies out because their bullpen implodes on a daily basis.
And Realmuto had an MRI today and he didn't play in his game.
Oh God!
So that's not a good thing.
Oh God! I didn't
and Hoskins
see that.
Is out too. So they're losing all their good hitters. They got all kinds of injuries. They're screwed.
Yeah.
They might not even make it in. They may fall out of the seventh seed. I don't know if they can still, but they might.
I would love to see the Chaos Giants make some noise. But I doubt that's going to happen if they get
right
in
now.
There.
They would line up against the Dodgers in LA.
Yes, in the first round. So that's they gotta jump up and get ahead of somebody
right.
if they're gonna do anything. I mean that's a given right there. Padres kind of.
I mean, they're young, but I that's the thing. I don't want to believe in the young teams. I don't believe in the Cubs. I don't believe in the Cubs. I think they have too many holes. I think if it had been a longer season, they would have been exposed. They're playing in a very, very weak division.
Yeah.
I mean, the NL Central's weak. We know this. We're in it. We know what the NL Central is, okay? The Cardinals, they're going to be so worn out for making up all those games. I don't believe it. The Marlins are like an anomaly that would not have made it in if it wouldn't have been for the extended playoffs. I don't believe in the Phillies. I don't believe in the Giants. So it comes down to is the second best team, the Braves or the Padres? Braves have a little bit more experience, right? I mean, like, which one would you go with?
Well, the Braves, I mean, the Braves, I don't know if they did enough during the trade. They were, like, kind of, like, iffy during the trade deadline.
They were already good, though, and Acuna's starting to come along.
Yeah, but didn't Acuna just hit a ball off of his foot the other day or his leg or something?
Why is it that every time that guy's starting to do good, I say something good about him and then he hurts himself?
No, I just think I saw something. I saw where he hit it off of his leg and he was laying there and he was, like, holding it. So God knows what's going to happen there.
It's probably an amputation.
You know,
that's probably it.
You know what's going to happen?
Probably lost a leg.
You know what's going to happen here? Because I talk so much crap on the Reds, they're going to sweep us. And then they're going to go on this huge streak, and they're going to come in second place. And after I said that, after I said they were going to bomb this year, and they were actually holding true to it. Because I mean, if you look at it, if you got Trevor Bauer, if you get
how are they not in the playoffs right now?
If you get Castillo to like pitch like he did last year, if he catches fire, so there's your like number two in that rotation. They definitely, I mean, they have like hitters, and Joey Votto's hitting home runs. Like he's like 23 years old again. So like that's what's gonna happen, Chris. I'm just gonna call that right now, and then I'm gonna go like find the nearest bridge and jump off of it, because I have predicted this whole time the Reds were gonna be terrible, but that's what's gonna happen.
All right, American League. Right now, the number one seed, I can't believe it, the Chicago White Sox, the Rays, the A's, the Twins, the Blue Jays, the Astros, the Yankees, the Indians. Those are the eight. Unlike the Dodgers in the one seed, I am not going to sit there and tell you the White Sox are a shoo-in. That is a young team that has probably benefited more than any other team with a 60-game schedule and nobody in the stands, so there was no pressure for the multiple young guys that they brought in. That's a team in a rebuild that this should have been the year where they were just trying to be a little bit over 500 and learn something about themselves. But they've got the AL batting champion who might win it a second year in a row in Tim Anderson. So they've got that. And they've got Jose Abreu, a veteran that is having the greatest year of his career and will probably be the AL MVP. So you talk about Mike Trout having a hard time leading the Angels. They've got a couple guys like that on that team. Give me your top two teams out of those eight that you think could end up in the World Series.
Well, I gotta say, I feel bad for Oakland right now with old Chapman going out with their third.
Oh, that hurts them so much.
That's just absolutely terrible, because I mean, this was a year where we knew that we're at least hoping that Houston was going to be down, and they've shown that they're down, but they've kind of like hung around enough. But I just feel bad for them on that. And we talked about this a long time ago, Chris, is it might be the team not with the pitching, that if you get through that first round, it might be the team that can go like pound for pound with people. And right now, that's the White Sox and the Twins are the two teams that if it's like...
Two teams playing each other this week in a no-holds-barred brawl for the top of their division right now. Like that's, I mean, if you're looking for a ball game nationally... This week, those two teams are facing each other head-to-head, which is crazy.
Yeah, and if you look at it, I'm just looking at it right here on the standings. The White Sox run differential is plus 77. The Twins are second in the American League right now, and they're plus 48.
You could literally have the three best teams in the American League all in the Central.
Yeah.
And that's what's crazy. Like, people look at the NL Central and they go, wow, they're weak. Look how bad they all are. But you have to remember, you had to run into the buzzsaw. That's the White Sox, the Twins, and the Indians, which may be the top three teams in the American League. Because remember, somebody will say, oh, the Rays, oh, the A's. They didn't have to play them yet.
Yeah.
Those teams are stacked. They're stacked with talent. Like, for decades, we've looked at that division. It was always like, well, the West might have the wild card, or the East might have the wild card in the American League, but it was never going to be the Central. That is the cream of the crop right now in the American League, that Central Division. It's going to be that way now for a little while. It's going to drive places like ESPN nuts because they hate covering like divisions that aren't on the East Coast. But that is clearly going to be the division, and there's three of them in there. I'm with you on the idea that I think the Twins have an excellent chance. I don't count out the Rays, but again, I just don't know what the Rays are running into right now. I feel like the Blue Jays are like... They're like my dark horse team.
Yeah.
Like, if I had to pick two teams, I'd actually say Indians and Blue Jays, and they're the five and the eight seed. I think the American League is so competitive, it could be lower seeds that end up winning.
And the Indians, I'm thinking about, like, when they say, like, who's your top, like, three pitchers? I mean, they got rid of, you know, Clevinger, and they were just like, you know what? Who cares? We got Bieber.
We don't need him. They got plenty of pitching.
You know what I mean? They got plenty of pitching. So if there's a team that can shut some of these guys down for a couple games... I think it might be the Indians on that one. So that one's where it's kind of scary. I mean, that's why I think, the White Sox are young, but if they keep hitting, and I don't count them out just because you go down, say like 2-0, because it's not like they don't have pitching. I mean, I know that Keuchel's out right now, but
he'll be back on Thursday from what I understand. Yeah. They had to skip a start to make sure he was ready to start the playoffs, because otherwise he was pitching on the last weekend. So like, oh, you got a hangnail? We're putting you on the IL for 10 days. That's what they did, and now he's going to be all ready to go when he comes back out on Thursday for the final game of that Twins series.
Okay, so then you got Keuchel, you got Gio.
It's like, oh, you don't need to pitch against the Tigers. They suck. We're going to put you on the IL and make sure we bring you back in time to play the Twins in that series and be ready for the postseason. He's not actually injured, I don't believe.
Yeah, so you got then you got Giolito, you got Keuchel. I mean, you got Reynaldo Lopez just came back up and after
he sucks.
Back down.
He's a terrible pitcher.
But you could bring
He's a terrible pitcher.
I'd bring him in long relief. I would.
Long relief. That's about it. And long relief being like four batters. Now you're going to get me all fired up about them. That's the end of this Pirates show. I don't want to talk about the White Sox anymore.
What does it say? We end up talking about all the other teams because it was too depressing to talk about the Pirates. It's like, you know what? Let's talk about playoff teams.
We talked about the draft. And we talked about former first round picks. And then we talked about Major League as a whole going into the postseason, because that's how depressing Pirates baseball is. But I will tell you this, Craig. When we get to the postseason, it will get very interesting, because we're going to get to do some team building, and I think it's going to be fun just sitting around every week and coming up with things the Pirates should be doing and watching the moves and analyzing what they mean long-term for the team. It's going to be an absolute blast, and I'm looking forward to doing that with you. Thanks, everybody, for listening to Bucks in the Basement. That's Craig Toth. He's a super fan. I'm Chris Lanuti. You can find us everywhere podcasts can be found, and always at bucksinthebasement.com. Bye-bye, everybody.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say.